All right. How's everybody today? Good, I hope. Everybody get plenty to eat? Lord Jesus, we come today. We ask for your blessing over this place. God, we ask for your presence. God, we ask for hearts that can receive, be still and receive. To be still and listen. To know that you have us, that you've always had us, that you love us, that you care for us, that you see us as good sons and daughters. God, that we have your favor. God, will you just shower this place with blessing today?
A fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Born to wander, born to feel it, born to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Born to my heart, won't he can seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
I love the line in that song that says, "Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." Such a loaded statement, because it suggests this reality that it's God's goodness that keeps us close. It's his love for us that causes us to change. I It's not our good works. It's not our attempts. It's the love that we're shown by Jesus. It's just good to remember.
Cry, Lord, we cry.
around thy throne, thy name confessing. Lord, we would to be drawn nigh. Lord, we would to be drawn nigh. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God on high. We sing. Glory be to God on high. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you today for the blessing of community, the blessing of getting together and being able to share stories and share our hearts with each other and share a meal. And Father, we pray in the rest of this time, God, we consecrate this time to you. God, we just pray that for hearts that would receive and be blessed by your word. In your name we pray, amen. All right. How's everybody today? Man, thank you to our friends that came this morning, Ross Station, small group. Chris and Brandy, I could tell a lot of stories on them, but they could tell a lot of stories on us, so we'll just leave that be and say thank y'all for being here this morning and your friends. It's been awesome to meet you guys. Well, last week, who was here last week? Two people, three people, four, five. Now we got a crowd. All right, so if you were here last week, wonderful job by our brother John Littleford. He taught on Elijah and counting on God to come through and just how much he has done so through Jesus. And so we're thankful for that. If you have to leave or you just kind of don't understand why we gather together, it is about Jesus. Jesus changes everything. And so just remember that this week. A few weeks back, I picked back up. We've been doing a study in Ephesians. I picked back up there, and Freddie had taught on the beauty that God sees in each of us. You remember that? God sees beauty in each and every one of us. The words that he said over and over that we need to hear is that you are beautiful and worthy. I want you to stop right there. Isn't it a beautiful day today? I mean, just look up. You feel the fall in the air. It kind of feels like football season, right? Maybe a little hunting season. You know, it just feels crisp and cool in the air, right? As beautiful as that is, I want you to know that there's a creator, God, in heaven that looks down and sees you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing or what you will do, as the apple of his eye. Beautiful, perfect. In Jesus' name. That is the beauty of the gospel. If you've been around our teaching, I was telling one of our guests this morning, asked how long we've done this. Guys, I don't know if you remember this, but November will be 5 years that we've been out on the streets in Birmingham, and the message remains the same. You are beautiful, you are worthy, you are valued, you are welcome, and you are wanted.
And that is not just at the church at Southside as we gather together in this family. That is in by the King of Kings. You have a seat at his table should you choose to accept it. And so that is the pattern of our teaching. And something we need to be reminded of continually, that we are beautiful and we are worthy. Freddie continued on. We were talking about forgiveness. Ephesians landed us in that place. And we, if you remember, I taught, it's been probably 3 weeks ago. I said, some of you right now need to stop in the middle of this teaching. Don't pay attention to me. Some of you need to go to one another and say, you know what? You did this that I took offense to, and I forgive you. You remember that? Some of you did it. It was a beautiful Sunday, stopping in the middle of that and going and talking to others. It was beautiful. But then Freddie followed that up with this awesome point. You cannot forgive if forgiveness is not in you, right? You can't give what you don't have. You got to go to the source. There has to be this forgiveness within inside of you. If you expect to pour forgiveness out, it's had to have been poured in you. You follow what I'm saying? So the ultimate source of forgiveness is, yes, that we've got to receive this. But then Freddie talked about it, that we have to be able to forgive ourselves. Some of us are walking around with a lot of self-hatred this morning. Because you've missed the mark, you maybe feel like you've made bad choices or whatever life has you in. You feel like it's something you caused and you can't forgive yourself, let alone forgive someone else. It's got to start right here. You have to be forgiven by God, but then you have to be able to forgive yourselves to pour that forgiveness out to others. And then I made a statement that has stuck with me that God laid on my heart, is that when you hear that, when you talk about going up and hearing statements like Jesus says about love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, you come to a place of that and you just think, you know what, that's not natural. And I said, that's right. It's not, but it is supernatural. When the Spirit of God lives in you, you can forgive anyone. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't mean you got to forget. It doesn't mean you have to give that person access to your heart to hurt again. I understand all those things, that time and space and healing and all these things. But you can forgive others. But you got to start inside. You have to accept that forgiveness and offer forgiveness to yourself, to let the self-hate go. That was such an awesome word by Freddie. So I started to follow up a couple weeks ago with this message. And if you remember, it rained on us. And I was trying to get everybody out of here dry, get you back home. We got everybody full, but we kind of breezed through the word. So I wanted to go back to this passage and pick back up to up there today. So I'm going to read Ephesians 4, and I'm going to start at verse 11 and 12. Just a little recap. It says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. If you remember a few weeks back when I taught on that passage, I told you this, there is beauty in the fact that Jesus came. If you haven't ever heard this, his essential mission was to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. Do you know that he hangs out with the brokenhearted? There are scripture after scripture that says that he is listening to the brokenhearted. Anybody out here ever feel like you're brokenhearted? That you feel down and out? I got good news for you. He is near the brokenhearted. In fact, he came to heal broken hearts. He came to set you free. And not only did he come to set the captives free, but my God is so great that he took captivity captive. We talked about that in Scripture a few weeks back, that he actually took the idea of captivity captive, that if you believe in the gospel, that you are no longer a slave to sin. He basically vanquished captivity for those who will believe. That you can be set free and free indeed. That he came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That's what he talks about in this, that he arrested captivity. And we'll say it again, we'll continue to say it, that Jesus Christ changes everything. But he didn't stop there. When he took captivity captive, it says here that he left, but he left, and when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. I want everybody to do this for me. Raise your hand this morning. If you've raised your hand this morning and you have a pulse, you have a purpose. You have a pulse for being alive. He is allowing you. He is gifting you with a rhythm in your heart, with breath in your lungs. You may even look in the mirror this morning and say, you know what? I'm no good. I'm worthless. Nobody would even care if I wasn't here. Let me tell you one person that would disagree. The Creator is authoring life right now in your heart and your life. And He says, you have value, you are worthy, you are beautiful, and you have a purpose. You have a gift. You have a calling that I cannot fulfill and you cannot fulfill mine. He created you uniquely the way you are on purpose for a purpose. And it says that when He left and He took captivity captive, it said that when He ascended on high, He gave gifts. He gave gifts to you. He gave gifts to me. He's a loving Father, but He does this for a purpose, to build up the body. It says that He equips us. Verse 12 says it this way, that He's building up. Listen to me. There is enough tearing down in our world. I got news for you. There's enough tearing down in our church. Let me say that again. Listen to me, way in the back. There's enough tearing down even out here. I hear it. I get in the middle of a little squabble sometimes, right? And we have to calm people down. We say, no, this is not the place for that. Not only is it not the place for them, it's never welcome, it's never wanted. This is a place to build up the kingdom of God, not to tear down. There's enough tearing down out there. Turn on your TV if you want. Read a newspaper. Read a news story. You young kids at home, there used to be this thing called a newspaper. They would send it. It was made of paper and you read it. Now it's on your phone. There's enough tearing down. Politically, COVID, you name it, all of these different opinions. We used to have the grace to disagree and give each other space to operate in that, but it doesn't exist anymore for some reason. There is this tearing down, and you've got to believe the way I believe of things. I want to tell you, that is not kingdom building, at least not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about building up and not tearing down. And that's exactly what He gave you His gifts for. If you are called to salvation, you are called to serve, and you are called to build His kingdom and not your own. I want to read, start 11 and 12 again. I'm going to read through our passage today. We're just going through verse 16. Talk about it for just a few moments, and then we'll break up from here. Verse 11, it says, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about of every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You for Your word, and we just pray that You just speak to our hearts this morning. God, there's a lot of voices that we hear. There's voices of shame and accusation, curse that has been spoken over us, maybe by family or friends or people we felt should have our back that don't, people that have let us down. Those voices have spoken, maybe even that inner voice that tells us we're no good. On the flip side, maybe a voice that says we've arrived and we've got everything figured out. We're so religious that it's just blocking everything from You. Holy Spirit, we pray that Your voice speaks the loudest, louder than mine today, louder than anything that's been spoken. Holy Spirit, just, You don't need our permission, but we just give it freely and say, have Your way in this place, that You would speak, that You would move, that You would operate in hearts and lives today. If that's to meet You for the first time, wonderful. That's awesome news. if it's to renew that relationship, if it's to grow us deeper into a mature manhood or womanhood, as your scripture says, that you would do that today. Holy Spirit, we give you room to operate and speak the loudest here this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so certain roles, right? We saw that a few weeks back when I taught, and I think Freddie even talked about that. We see it in there that these roles that were mentioned, right? That he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. But he didn't just stop there, right? He gave this gift of servant. He gave the gift of encouragement. All of these things that could be used to build up the body. He left and he left with gifts. And Freddie reminded us when he taught, kind of leading up about this forgiveness of self, he said, everyone here, if you know him, is a minister of the gospel, even if you don't have a pulpit, right? You understand that. Everyone here, if you know him, you're a minister of the gospel, that your daily job is to build up the kingdom of God through him. Right? It's not all on you, but that's what he wants to use you to do. He wants to grow you up into that, where you are building up the kingdom, building up the body, engaged in your own personal ministry. I want to tell you this. Like some of you still, and I don't know why, but some of you call me Pastor Keith. All right? I'm Keith, and I'm cool with just being called Keith. But you feel like in that sometimes that you feel like I've got this some kind of connection. I don't. Other than the same connection you got. You have a ministry just like I do. In fact, the relationships that God has given you, I believe that God will use you to reach that person more than he would ever use me. He's put you in their life. You know them. You have a relationship with them. He's put them there for you to love and for you to build up and not tear down. He's given you a role and he's given you a gift to build up and not tear down. Just as Freddie talked about, right, that this forgiveness that's been poured into us, we pour out. Your gifts are poured into you so that you can pour out and bless others. I want to tell you a real quick test on this. Is somebody using their gift to build themselves up, or are they using it to build the kingdom up? It's all about building the kingdom, to pour out what's been poured into us. And listen to how long it says that we need to do this. I want you to listen to verse 13. It says that basically this unity, the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Anybody have any guesses how long that is? Until we attain faith and unity in God, it'll be one day when he's made all things new. That is when perfect unity will come. And not until then. So here's what this scripture tells me. There's no retirement plan in the kingdom of God. It's not. If you're 97 and on death's door, no retirement. Whatever gifts he's given you, building up the kingdom of God, he has called you. He has made you for a specific purpose, and we all know that it is to build up his kingdom, to build up the body of Jesus Christ. We say this all the time out here, but I want you to know it. And our guests, you same at your church. I know your pastor. I know he would say the same thing. You've got these earthly roles and these earthly titles, but we like to say it here that Jesus is the senior pastor of this church. He is the head of the church. He is the head of this church. We follow him. Wherever he leads, we go, right? Like the old song says. He is the head and we are the body. Everybody pivotal, everybody important, everyone loved. And there is no retirement into growing up into who he's called us to be. In fact, he even says it. He says this mature manhood, that we're to grow up from little children into mature manhood. You see, like we have little children that run around here and they're playing. It's not meant to stay at that place, that we're to grow up. Now, here's where I want you to be careful, though. This is not a works theology. This is not something that's saying that you've got to produce for God to love you. I want to tell you something. I want to disarm the enemy this morning. And I want you to listen to this. Newsflash. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't. It doesn't matter on the scale of God loving you. It doesn't matter what you've done bad. It doesn't matter what you're doing bad or what you will do. It doesn't matter what you've done good or doing good or will do good. It does not change the scale of what God thinks of you. Somebody needs to hear that today. I've shared this before, but I feel compelled to share it again. When God led my family to come to Birmingham, Alabama, I really was on this personal journey of reading the scripture. I was challenged to go to the gospels because I was called by a God that wants me to resemble the love of Jesus Christ. What better place to go than the gospels and to see how Jesus operated and to see that, like, when he would come up to the leper. You ever read on the leper? They had this horrible disease, and they would walk down the street, and they had to, by law, to scream the words, unclean, unclean, and everyone would dart around. But what did Jesus do? He would go up, and he would touch them, and he would love them. He would pray for them. He would heal them. To the prostitute that walked through the towns in shame, knowing that they had been with multiple men the night before, and people would look at them in disgust and call them names, Jesus would go to them and call them, "You are beloved. You are beautiful. There's a better way." And I would read the scriptures, and I would read that, and I want to tell you, I was so convicted because I did not find myself in that story. I did not find myself being loving like Christ. I want to tell you where I found myself is I would read the gospels, and I would see the Pharisee that was over there and saying, "You're dang right, you're nothing but a whore. You're dang right, like, you are unclean." That was me. I felt like a Pharisee. Felt like I had attained some kind of religious right because I was checking all my boxes. I went to church. I gave money. I served. I showed up when there was a work day at church. I was there every time the doors opened, but I was religious and dead on the inside. It wasn't until relationship came and set me free, and Jesus reminded me, it doesn't matter what you do because I've already told you it's finished. When I laid down my life, it was finished. You don't have to earn anything from me. You understand what I'm telling you? That there is no possible way, no earthly way you could serve till you work your fingers to the bone. And he will not love you any more than laying his life down on a cross. It's already done. He already loves you. When he spoke you into existence, by the way, I feel led to say this morning. I didn't plan to say this. This is led by the Holy Spirit. To my addict friends out here this morning, if you're addicted to something right now, be that a substance, be that a sin, be that a lifestyle, be whatever, he spoke you into existence knowing that would be your struggle, yet still loving you and saying, "I want you in relationship." Listen, you know, I try to be honest and upfront. I don't care if you came this morning with a needle mark in your arm from last night. He loves you. He cares for you. He's made a way. He wants better for you. He doesn't want you to stay there, but his love doesn't change. He's not pissed off at you. He doesn't love you less. He doesn't love you more if you stop. It's done. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you see the absolute beautiful freedom in that? So here's what I would tell you. I don't want that to take you to a place to say, Well, Keith said, he's got a Bible open. He said that it doesn't matter all the bad I do. He's still going to love me the same, so I'm just going to keep doing bad. That's not it. In fact, I would challenge you, if that's you, then maybe you've never been redeemed and set free in the first place. But if you have, and you come to a love that's that good, then the motivation becomes this: he loves me that much, that insane, crazy, recklessly, he loves me that deeply that it doesn't matter what I do. You know what? That's the motivation to stop doing that. A love that good, a love that deep, and then along the way to use the gifts that he's given you to build up the kingdom of God. That's what it's about, to come together and offer enough grace. Listen, the grace doesn't stop at the cross. You know, I used to think that. I honestly did. Y'all, you may not can tell it. I'm seminary trained. I know it doesn't come out that way. I've been to school and I've learned about things. And you know what? What I really learned is I sat there and somehow I built up this system in my mind that, okay, now that I know him and now that I've met this amazing grace, not just grace, but amazing grace, that how sweet the sound, somehow in my twisted mind it ended at the cross. now that I know that, I gotta be perfect. I beat myself up and say, I know he's so mad at me. God, I'm so grateful looking back now, though. I know that looking back the whole while, Jesus is like, you don't have to beat yourself up like this. I've already said it's finished. I've already said it's done. You're forgiven. You're loved. I cannot love you any more than giving my life for you. He wants to offer that same grace this morning to you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, or what you will do. You can't tip the scales any further. Bad or good, you cannot tip the scales. I don't care. Name it. You could murder someone and it not tip the scale. You are not too far gone. By the way, I do not suggest murder. I'm not saying do that and test him out. But if you have, there's grace. Do you understand just how deeply he loves you? He created you for relationship. He spoke you into existence with the sole purpose, by the way, of relationship with him. Some of you right now got secret sins that nobody in this world knows about. He knows, and he loves you. He cares for you. And the only thing that grieves him is that there's a better way. It's not too far gone. He's not so mad at you that he won't speak to you. He's heartbroken that you feel that way. The thing that I can encourage you, and again, I'm just trusting God. Although he knows it, he wants to hear from you. Can I see any dads in the crowd? If you're a dad, a mom, man, don't you want to hear from your kids? How much does it bless you if one of your kids comes to you and says, Dad, Mom, like I'm struggling? If we're earthly sinful parents and we get that, how much more so does the Holy Father come to us and just like, tell me about it? Some of you need the picture this morning of curling up in the arms of the Father and him just holding you and saying, it's okay. Let it out. Some of you may need, you ain't gonna hear this at many places, some of you may need to kick and scream and cuss a while and just let it out. He can take it. He knows you're feeling it already. He's just saying, talk to me. Tell me about it. Get it out. There's healing in that. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Maybe it's me. But he's called us into this mature manhood. And so here's why I tell you to watch the works theology. You've got to be careful here and not think that you can tip the scale, but you are called to grow. You are. He said to grow up from a children into mature manhood and not being tossed to and fro. You are to find yourself study. You are to find yourself approved. You are to learn and to grow in that. But it is for the purpose to build up the kingdom of God. It's not so that he can love you more or be less mad at you. But he does want better for you. Not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. To grow up. I'm reminded of the words of Paul. I think about the passage in Philippians where he says that he presses on. I know that passage, that I press on. He's talking about this Christ-likeness. He's saying, not that I've already obtained it, but I press on for it. Like that's my goal. I strive for it. But he knew that it didn't affect God's love for him. Jesus changes everything. You've heard me say it a bunch today, but on everything Jesus hinges. This is why the body functions the way it does. I want you to listen to the last of this. So he tells us, so that we may not be children, so that we may not be tossed about. But here's where he says in 15, he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head. That's our goal, to mimic, to be like Christ. We will never be Christ. We will never be the head, but we do strive for Christ's likeness so that we can build the body up. And it says, from Christ, with whom the whole body joined and held together. Jesus, on Jesus hinges everything. It's not about your pastor. It's not about your deacon. It's not about your, your small group that's here today, that's wonderful tools. It's wonderful things. It's wonderful body to get together. But Jesus is really the one that changes everything, and on everything hinges from Jesus. It says, every joint in which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Here's when the body is working great, is when the body comes together, all the many different parts, all the many different gifts, and they are singularly focused on the head that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, you tell us where you want us to go. What do you want us to do? How do you want us to serve? Everything hinges on that, serving one another and building one another up in love. I don't do this a lot, but I got a challenge for you this week. I felt led to go this way when we talked about forgiveness, and then Freddie followed up and talked about this, forgiveness starting within ourselves. Maybe some of you have taken that journey now. You begin to forgive yourself. You've asked forgiveness from God. Now you're starting to believe some of these things. I've got a challenge for you this week. Are you up for a challenge? So here's what I want to challenge you to do. There's somebody in your life right now that you don't like. Some of you calling them by name now. You dang right, I don't like that person. Can't stand them, man. Don't even like to see them. Some of you go to church with them. Whoops, it's not good. I want to challenge you to do this. Instead of in your mind this week of saying, man, I can't stand that person, or man, they make me so mad, or I want to kick them in the name of Jesus. I want to challenge you to do two things this week. Pray for them. Pray for you while you're doing it. Can you do that? Can you pray for that person? Everybody can do that. You can do that where you're standing right now. It could be as simple as like, God, I don't like Keith. Will you be with him? Help him where he needs it. Can you do that? Can you pray for him? Now I'm going to ask you to up the ante just a little bit. I want you to find one way to serve them this week. You see, because you've been gifted with gifts to build the body up, especially if that person's a believer, to serve them some kind of way. That could be dropping a note in the mail. That could be going to their tent and taking them a can of Beanie Weenies and saying, you know, with a note on it, Jesus loves you. And you can walk off and say, I don't, but I'm trying, right? I don't know, right? But to do something, and here's why I say that. Do you know that it is hard to hate somebody that you're actively praying for and serving? It's almost impossible. If you know God and you're doing it out of the right motivation of building up the body, it is really hard to hate somebody that you are praying for and that you are serving. I want to close with this. Man, God's led me several places that I did not plan on sharing, but I feel led to say this in closing, and I'll be done. You say, man, that's so easy for you to say. Like, I don't know if I can do that. You don't know what that person's done to me. And I said this last week, the last week that I taught. I know this is difficult, but some of you need to forgive somebody that's 6 feet under in the ground that will never, ever be able to tell you they're sorry. That's tough. But I think that's what Jesus would call you to, is forgiveness. He's all about that. But for the person that is alive, you say, man, you don't know what they've done to me. There's no way. There's no way in heaven or hell that I could do that. There's no way. I want to challenge you to do this. Go back this week and read when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. If you're a regular, you've heard me say this before, but somebody needs to hear it today, so just bear with me. The timeline of Jesus washing the disciples' feet is amazing to me. I'd read that story a million times, and I read it the millionth and first. This is why God's word's living and active. And I read it, and I started putting together this timeline in my mind. Jesus gathers the disciples together. He has, you know, the Lord's Supper. He institutes that. He washes their feet. If you remember, he gets to Peter, and he says, he was going to wash Peter's feet. And you remember Peter said, no, I have no part of it. You're not going to wash anything of me. And Jesus says, well, if you don't let me do this, then you've got no part of me. And then to Peter's credit, what did he say? Well, just wash my whole body then. Like, right? Don't just stop at my feet. Wash all of it. And Jesus washes the feet, and then he gets to this guy named Judas, and he tells him, now, Judas, go do this thing you got to do. You know that story? So what the timeline told me is this. It backs up, and I said, man, it just blew my mind that Jesus, knowing Judas was going to betray him, washed his feet. He washed all the disciples' feet, even Judas. And then he tells Judas, go do this thing you got to do. Be honest. If that's you, do you not get to Judas and save him for last, and then all that dirty foot water you just dumping on him, and then say, go do what you got to do? But no, Jesus bends down on his knees. He arms himself with a basin and a towel, and he washes and dries Judas' feet and looks at him with love and say, now go do this thing you got to do. I still think there was hope for Judas in that point. Others may disagree with that, but that's what I believe. If Jesus can do that for Judas, and then he could march to a cross and lay on a cross, and the ones that are nailing him there, he looks on the crowd and he doesn't bring down, you know, hellfire from heaven. He says, Father, forgive them. If he can do that with his betrayal of a closest friend and do that with the people who are nailing him to a cross for his death, and his spirit lives in you, you can forgive somebody that's hurt you. Would you challenge yourself this week to pray for that person, pray for yourself, and serve them? He's gifted you with something that will allow you to build the body of Christ up. It's what he's called you. It's what he's gifted you to do. But you can't give what you haven't received. I'm going to end there and say this. If you don't know him, why not today? Why not today? That's what he created you for. That's why you're alive, is to have a relationship with God and then the rest in the body and to build that body up. It's what he's called you for. It's what he's gifted you for. That's why you're breathing. Relationship with him, relationship with others. Keeping this circle tight, but enough room to say, hey, y'all come on, join us. There's plenty of room. There's one more seat with just your name on it. It's always room at the table for you. Amen. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. I just want to pray this. If there's someone here that doesn't know you today, that today would be the day. If that's you, man, talk to somebody about that. It's nothing special. I feel like if you're already there in your mind and you are being drawn to that forgiveness, then he's already doing a work in you. You just, Father, forgive me. I need you. I can't do this life alone. It's as simple as that. Jesus, I need you as a Savior. I can't save myself. But if you already know that, maybe you've been walking in that self-hatred or unforgiveness of self, would you receive that forgiveness that God's already given you and then forgive yourself, and then to receive that forgiveness, to pour it out to others, to build up the body? That's what Ephesians is talking about. And so I just want to pray God's blessing over you. Father, will you bless and keep us, watch over us. Bring those people to mind that we don't like very much. I promise, Jesus, I know you didn't like Judas very much in that moment. But your example was to wash his feet, serve him one last time as you could. If you could do that, if you could say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing right now to the people who are physically nailing you to a cross. I know it was deeper than that moment. It was for the rest of us too. Forgive them. Forgive the sinners. They don't know what they're doing. There's a better way. But those that were physically nailing you to a cross, you said that to them. Like, if your spirit lives in us, then the fruit of the spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, many other things. Let us operate out of that spirit and not out of self. Let us love others. Let us use our gifts to build up the body of Christ. Not to build up ourselves, but to build others up, to encourage others, to serve others, to love others, to let them know of the freedom that we found in relationship with you. We love you. We thank you again for our friends that came out this morning. I'm so blessed to have them. I pray your blessings on them as they travel, blessings on them as they continue to serve today, and just thank you for them, what they mean to us and just their willingness to come. It means a lot. We pray your blessings over them, over their church, their family, that they build each other up as well. That, hey, take some of this back, Spirit, of what you said, and love one another well. Your last prayer, Jesus, that you prayed for us, I want to pray that. Lord, would you make us one? That's what you prayed. You didn't pray that we would behave. You didn't pray that we would memorize tons of scripture. You didn't pray that we would not miss church attendance. You prayed, just make them one. If you make them one, like Jesus was saying to the Father, if you make them one, like me and you are one, then the world will know that you sent me. That's how they'll know that we come together, that we build each other up. And even on disagreements that we have, that we unite in Jesus' name. We love you, we thank you, and we pray and we ask all these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Turn their head in disbelief, their precious love.